We're beginning a bit of a discussion about tefillah. We're going to speak today about tefillah in the thought of the Nativ, and we're going to focus on one particular question, and it's a question which I think is very intriguing in a broad sense. And what the Nativ does is he uses his answer to this question really to answer a lot of other questions. But the question just follows to frame things a little bit in a broader sense. Many of us know that davening has become and is very, very structured. There's a lot of halachas about the way a person is supposed to daven. There are particular priorities in Shulchan Aruch about what you do if you are late to davening. What do you say and what do you not say? There's a very fixed and specific text that a person must say to be yotze tefillah, a very specific kind of certain specific lashonos that a person must recite. If you miss certain words of Kriyat Shema, so a person's not yotze, the text of Shmona Esrei is fixed in so many ways. And one of the primary questions, many of us know that tefillah, a lot of the fixed nature of tefillah, a lot of the fixed nature of tefillah was not the original plan or the original ideal. When Rambam speaks about how tefillah may be d'oraisa, so the Rambam understands that certainly the nusach ha-tefillah, even the Rambam maintains, as do the vast majority of Rishonim, the idea of a shachris, mincha, and mariv, all of those things are d'rabbanan. That structure of tefillah is really not what the original sort of d'oraisa idea of tefillah was. Tefillah d'oraisa, it's avodah, but there's a lot more flexibility. So even the Rambam, who understands that it may require some praise, it may require some bakasha, it may require some hodah, there's enormous flexibility for what that is. But our tefillah has become incredibly rigid, or it appears to be fairly rigid. Even Rav Sadia Gaon, or some of the other Gaonim that may have held that Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv are all Doraisa, even if there is a Tashita, not that the Nusach itself is established, Ba'atrikas HaGdola, the Nusach itself is established based on Prakim of Tehillim, which David HaMelech says, there's a lot here, and Tefillah is relatively rigid. We know at the same time that even though Tefillah has become, in certain senses, very structured, that even though Tefillah has become, in a certain sense, fairly sort of rigid as far as the halachas of tefillah and what a person has to say, we certainly don't envision a reality where tefillah involves none of a person's own bakashos. That tefillah, that a person has no flexibility whatsoever to insert any of their own tefillah, that to insert any of their own kind of a davening, that doesn't seem to have ever seriously, in a real way, ever been the plan. Chazal provides structure, but we want to be able to cultivate our own sense of tefillah, our own sense of tefillah also. And the question which many of the Bali Machshava deal with, some of the Bali Musar deal with, for reasons that are understandable, which is what does a person do with this set kind of davening? It's the same Shachris Mincha Maariv all the time. And if it's the same Shachris Mincha Maariv all the time, so where within that do I find? Or what role in the idea of tefillah do my personal tefillahs have? What role in the scene of davening? So what, my personal bakashos, what role do they play? So it's true, Anshe Tzfas HaGdola did an unbelievable job, the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yitzayim, structuring the Shmona Esrei, of what comes after what, and why it has a particular Seder. And we get that they do an amazing job at that. But what role does personal tefillah have in the context of a tefillah that has become very much structured? That's a broader question that many of the Bali Machshava sort of deal with a little bit. It's a broader question that the Nitziv is going to deal with. Today we're going to speak about the Nitziv's approach. We're going to spend a couple weeks on this question as a whole because I think it's massively important. Next week, Be'ez Hashem B'Neder, we'll speak about the approach of Breslov to this question, which is a very different idea than what you have in the Nitziv. But that's a particular Mahalach, a particular Mahalach which is out there. But I think the Nitziv offers an amazingly intriguing one, an amazingly important one, that we are going to try to understand. But to do so, I want to sort of be mocked in that the Nitziv has this unbelievable ability. Preparing Shiurim on Hamek Davar on the Torah of the Nitziv is actually significantly easier than I thought it was going to be, because often if you're learning a particular Sefer, so you have to put together where they talk about different topics. The Nativ is awesome because he tells you. And in one piece, I'll say, look at Shmos, you know, this. Shmos is like, okay, also look in this section of Brei. Brei is like, also look in what I wrote in this. Talks about a Gemara. It's in Rami Sada there in the Gemara. There he'll say, also check out what I wrote in Hamak Shela. That sometimes you just follow the Nativ. He had these amazing theories. But instead of writing a 20-page essay, what the Nativ did was he would give you sections that stand alone, but put together, if you follow what he tells you to do, put together is very, very intriguing. So Nativ is bothered by a series of questions that are very, very, I think, important to understand. And we'll begin with one from this week's Parsha. So it tells us that Yaakov and Yosef are talking in the Parsha. And Yaakov and Yosef are speaking, and Yomer Yisrael Yosef, Hinei Anochi Meis, Yaakov says to Yosef, this is right after he deals with Ephraim and Menashe, he says to him, listen, I'm about to pass away, and the Ribono Shel Olam should be with you. And you should be zochet to go up and to go up to Eretz Yisrael. That's what should happen. And then he says to Yosef, Va'ani nasati lecha Shechem echad al achecha. I'm giving to you Shechem echad. Not so clear what that is. Asher lakachti miyah emori b'charbi uvekashti. From that which I took away from the Amori, b'charbi uvekashti, with my sword and with my arrows. What's pshat in this pasuk? So it's not so clear exactly. One mahalach, which Chazal understand, is that Yaakov is telling Yosef, I'm giving you at least elements of the Bechor. Shechem echad alachecha, you'll have an extra chelek. You'll have an extra portion as a result. A portion which Asher lakachti miyad ha'emori, which I took away from Esav, she'osem maisa emori, Rashi says, I'm giving you the extra Bechor, which I took from Esav. How did I get it? Becharbi uvekashti. The Gemara darshins in Baba Basra and Daf Kuf of Gimel Amud Aleph. Becharbi, with my sword, zo tfila. Bekashti, with my bows, zo bakasha. Tfila and bakasha. It seems like, first question of the Nativ, it seems like we have two different things called davening. There's tfila and there's bakasha. I thought bakasha was a form of tfila. There's something called tefillah and something called bakasha. Not only that, we find a similar phenomenon in the pasuk in Parshas Melachim, one that we say the first night of Slichos, it rings in our ears a little bit. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Aleph also. Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfilah. Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfilah. Darshan the Gemara. What is rina? Rina is tefillah. What is tefillah? Tefillah is bakasha. So we already see some of like the awkwardness. Rina means tefillah, and tefillah means bakasha. I would have thought tefillah means tefillah. But the smart money would have been on that. So wonders in its sieve a little bit, even just as a bit of a hakdama. Wonders in its sieve, what are these two different kinds of tefillah? Not only that, but further, Targum Unklus, in the Targumim, they're often very precise about what they use, and there are two different words for tefillah. One word of tefillah in Targum Unklus is bitzlosi, Slos, like Tosafot Davram is a famous commentary in the Siddur, but Slosi, that there's a certain kind of tefillah like that, and Uba'usi, Beis Ayin Vavtaf. There seem to be two different words for tefillah, and they're conscious, and tries to figure out the Nativ. So what are these two kinds of tefillah, and why is it that certain cases you find one and not the other, and why is the order what the order happens to be in certain locations? What's going on? Understands the Nativ? I think if I can crack the code to that, I can understand a whole lot about tefillah. A whole lot about tefillah. The Nativ has a further question, and we're going to go through and develop an idea. But the Nativ has a further question, which is really, really very powerful. Says Nativ as follows. It seems like there's a stira between Gemaras. This question bothered some of the Rishonim, but it seems like there's a stira between Gemaras in terms of what a person should be doing. In the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara implies, Yochol Yishol Adam Tracha V'Achar Kach Yispael. Would you think you should first ask for what you need and then daven? Says the Gemara, no. You first daven and then you ask for your personal needs. That's the Gemara in Brachos and Lamed Aleph. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Zayin Amid Beis seems to hold of the opposite order. Rabbi Elezer Omer, no. Shoel Adam Tracha. First ask for what you want. V'achar kach yispalel, and then daven. So one is in tziv, what's the ideal order? Is the ideal order to first ask for what I want, and then to daven? Or is it better to first daven and then ask for what I want? What exactly is the structure? What's the game plan? What's the methodology? Those are the minor questions, not minor, they're important, and that Siv's going to use to address the larger question, which is the relationship between our set and structure davening and our desire for our own davening to be, our desire for our own davening to be more focused, for our own davening to be, to have a little bit more of our own personal kind of an insight. So the Tziv has the following theory, and please pay attention to it. It's an amazing theory. What I want to try to do is to develop what he says, to take it through some of the context, where the Tziv applies it, and then to speak a little bit about why I think this idea makes a lot of sense. Says Netziv as follows. There are two kinds of tefillas. One, there are requests that people make. The other, there's a shavach to Ribbono Shel Olam. Sometimes I praise Hashem, and sometimes I make requests. What's the order? How does that work? How does this all work? So Netziv has the following theory. Says Netziv, In the ideal world, a person would always, here's the line in a very intense way, says in the Tziv, this is in the Hey Makdavar, in Bereishis, Yud Ches, Chav Gimel or so, Vodiyo HaKasav, Kol Zeh Lamdenu, She'en L'Shem Adam L'Hispala L'Eiz HaDavar, Rat B'Toch Tfilah Kavua, She'asu Eitz Ratzon, says in the Tziv, the best time to ever daven for a person's personal needs, the best time to ever daven for a person's personal tefillos, is in the context of a tefillah kavua. In the context of a regular set and formal davening, says Netziv, that's the best time to insert your own tefillos. How come? Because the time is a set time to davening. That's an eis ratzon. It's a time which is firmly established as a time for tefillah. And so once I'm in a little bit, so then I can insert things in a very, very powerful way. Says Netziv, there are ways to daven for your own personal things, not in the context of tefillah, but it's more challenging and it requires a different approach to tefillah. If a person davens not in the context of a regular tefillah, they have to first praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, and only once they've praised Hashem do they have enough of an in to be able to then make their own requests. That's why Chazal sometimes speak about first praise Hashem and then make your request. That's outside the realm of normal tefillah. But the ideal way to insert your own davening, the ideal way to insert your own tefillah is to do something different. The ideal way to daven is part of Shmoneh Esrei, part of Tefillah Kavua. If you do that, you can go straight into Bakashas. You know why? Because you already said the first two paragraphs, Shmoneh Esrei, you already praised Hashem, you're already in a certain sense, and it's an Ace Ratzon. So then I can insert things. Says the Netziv, Bicharbi uvikashti refers to two different forms of Tefillah. Bicharbi, what do Chazal say, is Zot Tefillah. Bakashti is zo bakasha. Why is it bicharbi undenu vakashti? Bicharbi, a sword, we'll explain why, says Netziv. Bicharbi refers to tefillah kavua. That's why bicharbi zo tefillah. Vakashti zo bakasha. Bakasha means the personal bakasha that a person has. Ideally, you first daven in the context of your tefillah kavua, so then you get uvakashti, your particular bakashas. Wonders the Netziv, why is this so? Why is it so? Go through the following way. Says Netziv, in the ideal, what happens is, first you have tefillah kavua, first you have your set tefillah. That is, says Netziv, tefillah kavua, that is bicharvi. That's my sword, that's why it's called zo tefillah. That's also el harina v'el ha-tefillah. Rina is tefillah is bakasha. The word bicharvi and the word rina refer to my set tefillah kavua. There are many different lashonos for tefillah. Many lashonos imply part of your set davening. The word sicha, he points out, which is really a gemara, Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, and Zayin Beis, also refers to set tefillahs. Ein sicha ela tefillah, when Chazal say that Yitzchak established mincha, it's ein sicha ela tefillah. These are all different words of describing the set and formal kind of a tefillah. There's another kind of tefillah, which are your personal bakashos. There are other words that indicate your personal bakashas. Bikashti, your arrows, that indicates personal bakashas. Also, the word tefillah, oddly enough, zo bakasha. That also can refer to certain kinds of bakashas. The ideally, it's bicharbi, first tefillah kavua. In the context of tefillah kavua, is bakashati. Says Nitziv, why is the set tefillah called sword and the personal bakashas called arrows? What's the idea? What's the yisod here? So says the Nitziv the following idea. I'm not an expert in warfare, but this is the Nitziv's suggestion. You can take it or leave it. Says the Nitziv as follows. Why is sword called the set davening of Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, and Esrei? And why is an arrow called the individual davening? Says Nitziv, and again, I'm not sure on a battle perspective whether I know this is true or not. I'm not sure. But says Nitziv, why is that so? He says, in a milchama, there are different weapons you use depending on what stage of battle that you are at. There are different weapons you use at different stages. Says Nitziv as follows. When you are further away from your original target, it's very hard to use an arrow. An arrow is what you use in a very focused kind of a way. When you're close enough to have that like assassination, so you may use an arrow, you may when you can see, identify very clearly. But if someone is being protected by lots of people, being protected, so often, says Nitziv, that's where like almost the indiscriminate usage of sword would be used. Says Nitziv as follows. First, what do you do? Alkein tchila tofsim becherev laharoges kol sevivav. Often you'll take a sword and the initial stages to fight to be able all those around you. And then when you get close enough to use the arrow, that's when you use the arrow to target in a certain sense. But first the sword is necessary to clear off all the surroundings. Says the Nitziv, that's why, meaning you're pointing out that when I said on the battle perspective, we're correct. One could have thought that. Says the Nitziv, I think that that's the mashal here. Swords are used for clearing out all that's around. Bakasha, that the keshet is used as a person gets close enough to fire that very specific thing. Says the Nitziv, the goal of tefillah kavua is that when it comes to daven to Rabbono Sha'olam, it's often hard to get in. It's often a little bit hard to get in. That there are a lot of things around. There are a lot of things that are me'akev, that separate between us and Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. It isn't always so simple. It isn't always so easy. That we have to be able to identify what are the things that I have to go through to be able to have that in with Rabbono Sha'olam. The godless of Tefillah Kavua is that when you're davening the set tefillah of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, you know what it's awesome at? It's awesome at clearing away and getting you in with Rabbono Sha'olam. A person who davens properly with the Pesukim de Zimra, it's all about building to a certain point. So a person begins with Pesukim de Zimra. The word Zimra, I think everybody comes from the Shlach HaKadosh. Zimra is milashon zomer, to prune, that you take away some of the bad parts of something so that the rest could grow. Pesukim de Zimra, we're trying to clear space a little bit, and you're building. It's like a ladder, and then you get to Berachos Kriya Shema, your Mekabel Mach Shemayim. You talk about somech geulat tefillah. It's all about building towards the ultimate mila called Shmona Esrei. Moshe Wolfson in Sefer Tefillah speaks about, maybe we'll hear Moshe Wolfson in a couple of weeks, that all the tefillah part of post Shmona Esrei are in many ways about how you bring it down from that point, of how you take your tefillah and bring it back into this. And it's really one of the reasons why we sit, he suggests. It's a bigger discussion for maybe in a week or two from now. But it's all setting up for that point. Says with Moshe Wolfson, what you're doing, says that's Nativ. When you daven Shmona Esrei, your tefillah kavua, what you've done is you followed the methodology of how to go up on a particular ladder. How you go up, and you follow Pesukim de Zimra, and you follow Kriya Shema, and then you're in with Shmona Esrei. Once you're in, that's the best time to daven personal bakashas, because now you're in a little bit, because now you're able to daven in a good way. Now you're able to get there in a very beautiful and very powerful way. Says the Nitziv, we'll explain a couple fascinating things based on this general distinction. Says the Nitziv, the following Torah. There is a very odd phenomenon in Shmos in Perek Lamed Beis. We are in Parshas Kisisa, We've just experienced Chet HaEgel. And Moshe, as one of the great defenders of Klal Yisrael, Moshe comes around. Listen to this word. It's so good. V'daber Hashem on Moshe, Lech Reid, Kishiches Amcha Asher HaLisa, Me'arek Petrayim, go down from Har Sinai. B'nai Yisrael is destroying things there with the Chet HaEgel. Saru Maher Min HaDerech Asher Tivisim, Masulahem Egel Masecha, they made an Egel, V'yishtachvulo, V'yizbechulo, V'yomru Eilu Hecha Yisrael. They're worshipping, simple pshat, maybe it's Avodah Zarah. They're sitting there worshiping Moshe, go down. V'yomru Hashem on Moshe, Re'isis Amazeh, V'nei Amtshe Orefu. These people are stubborn. V'yata. And then Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu the following, Hinichali, V'char api bahem v'achaleim. Leave me alone, Moshe, a little bit. Hinichali. Distance yourself from me. Leave me alone a little bit. So, because I'm angry at them. V'achaleim, and I'll destroy them. V'yichal Moshe p'nei Hashem alakav v'yomer. And what does Moshe do? He responds with a tefillah. Lama Hashem yichrebcha b'amecha asher atzitzam. Eretz Mitzrayim b'koach ha'gadol v'yachazaka. Why are you doing this to them? Ask Nativ. It's an amazing, it's such a simple ha'ara. What does hinichali mean? Hashem says to Moshe, look at Unglis, Ukhan ana v'useich. Moshe, don't daven right now. Leave me alone. I don't want you davening right now. And what does Moshe do when he responds? He davens. That's it, what's going on? Hashem said to Moshe, don't daven. And Moshe goes back, and Moshe davens for B'nai Yisrael. Hashem said not to, hinichali. And Moshe goes back, and he davens. What's going on here? He was told not to daven for them. And he can go and he can daven for them. What's up, shot? Says Nitziv, it is such a good vort. It's so good. If you look in Targum Unklis uses these two different words for tefillah. He was told, Ucha'an ana be'usach min kadamai. Don't do be'usach. Be'usach is be'kashti, is how Unklis uses it. Personal bakashas. Remove be'usach. What does Moshe do when he goes back and he davens? Vitzali Moshe. Moshe comes back, Vitzali, and he davened a tefillah kvua. What's the difference? What's going on here? So Moshe Rabbeinu was unbelievable. And Moshe got what was going on. You know, most people have to pull a trick. Most of us need tefillah kvua before our personal bakashas, because we have to get in with Hashem to be able to ask our personal bakashas. But you know who didn't have to have that trick? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe was already in with the Rabbono Sha'olam. Moshe had the ability to straight up go for personal bakasha because he's so close to Hashem Yisbarach. There aren't those same separations. So most people have to have first Bichar B, then Ubakashti. First Tli, and then Be'usei. The first is set davening, I'm in, and now I can have my own personal tefillah. Moshe can go straight with Be'usei. So Hashem knew, you know what Moshe's going to do? He's going to start going with personal tefillah. So Moshe says to Hashem, Hashem says to Moshe, not happening this time. Not happening this time. You can't do it. I'm so upset. I'm so upset that you can't do it. He says like this. Moshe Rabbeinu, Tfilaso La'olam Asta Pri. This is source number 10 in the sheet. Moshe, this is in McDubbin in Kisisa. Moshe, he could always just do whatever he wanted. V'gam lo haisa lo regils of tefillah kavua. Couldn't even Moshe didn't even have to daven the regular tefillah. Didn't even have to daven the regular tefillah for a different time as to why that's so. Because Moshe lived in the world of Nisim, Moshe didn't need the regular tefillah. Mishum hachik kishpala atzmo hiktim shevach kedin. V'kana kish amalo Hashem leich reid nigedul asta his hero kish baruchu ana ve'useich. Hanu tefillah torach shah b'tnei atzma kedarka Moshe. Don't go with the personal tefillah right now. You're right now. I'm at a place, Moshe, right now where I don't want you doing this. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayichal Moshe zot tefillah kavua kederach yirida b'derach hateva. An amazing idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was so close to Rabbono Sha'olam, could always go straight in. But post Chet HaEgel, Hashem was really not so happy right now. And Hashem was very upset. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Rei, this is not the time. I'm not interested in you using your in to be able to go there. The irony is that Moshe understood, but you know it always works? Hashem, right now you're saying there are separations, but I have a track of tefillah that can always work. The track of tefillah is tefillah kavua. Bitzlosi. So Moshe goes and he davens tefillah kavua. And once he davens and he davens a tefillah kavua, so then Hashem, that's the methodology of tefillah. The methodology of tefillah is Hashem said, if you follow this path, I have to let you in. It's like if you know the code on the house. As a person, the muscle you would have is there's a back door. There's a back door. And you know the way to the back door. So Baruch Shalom says, not now, not happening. But you know the code. You know what you have to do. You have a key. And you know what you have to do. And you follow that path, you're going to be okay. So there, it's an amazing thing. When Moshe couldn't go the straight Bakasa track, he knew he had the Tefillah Kavua track to go, which is an unbelievable thing, because what do we have? We have the Tefillah Kavua track. We have the Tefillah Kavua track to be able to go. We have this ability to be able to do it well. The Netziv traces this through Avraham Avinu davening for Sodom, a similar phenomenon. He explains Pesukim and Sefer Yeshaya based on this. He explains what's going on with Chana and Eli in this particular case, that Chana Dafka had to daven, because Chana wanted Tefillah answered. That Chana, why was she davening quietly? She was davening quietly because what was she davening? Because I understand. Shemona Esrei. She was davening Shemona Esrei. And because she wanted to daven, she understood methodology. What was Eli bothered by? Eli didn't know people daven quietly. Chazal say, the Navi says, Eli was very upset that she was davening that she was davening quietly. Eli didn't know you daven supposed to say quietly. Eli thought it wasn't the Tefillah B'Tzibur moment at that time. Eli thought that Chana was just davening her own bakashas quietly. What Chana was doing, Chana understood that if I want to ask my own bakashas, the best way is through Tefillah Kavua, which is why when Chana really wanted something, what did she have to do? A silent Shemoneh Esrei. And in the context of a silent Shemoneh Esrei, then she was able to ask her bakashas. Then she was able to do it. Then she was able to do it in a very, very meaningful way. Then she was able to accomplish it. Then he was able to accomplish it. Says the Netziv, an amazing, he understands, that when Avraham davens, Avraham starts with bakashas, only because the Netziv is part of a larger description there, thinks Avraham davens Shemoneh Esrei first, when he davened for Sodom, it was in the context of a Shemoneh Esrei. Because that's the best way to be able to get in. It's the best way to be able to get in. It's the best way to be able to create, identify, and find a particular form of tefillah, so suggests the Netziv, that's what it really is. I wanted to try to develop this idea for a moment because I think it's something which is very, very important. And I think it's like it's a little bit of a chashav nekuda. There is a challenge in tefillah. If you learn any of the sfarim that try to focus a person on kavana in davening, so this is one of the major questions that people ask, which is I have a set kind of a tefillah. And in the set kind of a tefillah, it can feel stale a little bit. Same Shemoneh Esrei. Same Shemoneh Esrei. Same Pesukim of Zimra. And it can feel stale a little bit. And part of the question is, how does a person find, as recently as yesterday, someone reached out about this question, how does a person sort of experience a degree of ischachus, a degree of ischachus in tefillah? Like, what does that look like? So the Netziv offers for us a particular insight as to how a person experiences ischachus, and it's one which I think comes with an additional ha'ara and a very insightful one at that. Says Netziv in many ways the following idea. Davening, the tefillah kvua, can be looked at as an end in and of itself. Did you daven today? You said Shemoneh Esrei? You did it okay? Okay, fine. Says Netziv, though, at its core, tefillah kvua is you getting your in. Tefillah kvua is for you davening for certain set and formal things. It does that. We have bakashas in davening. But you know what a lot of tefillah is? A lot of tefillah, if you follow the pathway of davening, it is getting you in with Ribbono Shel Olam. So says Netziv, it's almost like an amazing idea. Imagine that you finally get in. And now you're all there. And you ask for certain set and formal things. But now that you're in, if your tefillah involves nothing personal, if during a Rifa'enu, you're not thinking a little bit or adding a bit, because when you add as a segi for a different time, Makaleinu at the end, in the Rifa'enu, whenever you're adding something, if you're not being mosif, an individualized kind of tefillah for someone that you know is sick, if you're at the chonein, relevant to the world of remembering Talmud Torah and success in the world of Chachma, if it doesn't involve anything personal at that stage, if your Baruch Aleinu has nothing about a personal bakasha, about anything relating to Parnasa, if you V'li Yerushalayim and Esemach David, if it has nothing personal at all, so you know what happened? You finally got in. And imagine you finally get in with the muscle of the king, which people use all the time. You finally get in with the king, and the Brits will forgive me, one with more power. And you finally get into the king, and you're there. And now it's my opportunity to ask. And all you do
is used the set formal prayer that's been recited, the formal request, which they give everyone. Those requests are awesome. They guide you into the king, and they'll take care of your basic needs. They're unbelievable at that. But not to be most of anything, you're in. You're close enough. You can have a direct shot with an arrow. You're close enough, and you're not going. You're close enough, and you aren't there. Why wouldn't a person take advantage of that? Why wouldn't a person be able to do it? For the Netziv, personal tefillah does not exist outside the realm of tefillah kavua. The best personal tefillah exists within the realm of tefillah kavua. That at that point in time, a person could daven because you're in. And says Netziv, the wisest of people always knew this. The best daveners always got this. Avraham Avinu, when he wanted to daven for Sodom, knew has to come from Shmona Esrei. Has to come from Shmona Esrei. Chana, when davening for a child, knew I have to do it as part of Shmona Esrei, because let me get in. And now, Rabbi Shalom, I really need to be able to ask for something. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that even when the track of direct personal bakasha wasn't there, this two-step process, it works. It always works. And a person who's able to follow it, a person who's able to go there, so that's a person who can come to a particular place. That's a person who's able to daven in a more meaningful kind of a way. That koach, that potential exists, so suggests and so develops the netziv in so many ways. Davening is the starting point of a conversation. It's the starting point of a conversation. It's the best way. It's so good. It's so relevant. But once you're in, you're able to be there. Once you're in, you're able to be there in a very, very beautiful and very powerful way. And that's by Bizman Tefillah Kavua, Shenikrei Siach. That's the time to daven. It's the time to daven. That's why, if you look, I'll just go through the Pesukim about Sodom, because it's so good. What does the Pesuk say there? V'yifnu misham anashim, v'yelchu Sodoma, v'avram odenu omeid lifnei Hashem. Avram is omeid lifnei Hashem. V'yigash Avram, v'yomer ha'ach tispe tzadik. What's the diak of Netziv? What's Avram doing first? V'avram odenu omeid lifnei Hashem. Omeid lifnei Hashem, the reference to what? What is Amida? Amida is Shmona Esrei. Then Vayigash Avram Vayomer Ah Tipet Tzadik. Then he davened for Sodom. The Netziv understands it's so good. It's so smooth. It's a two-step. Avram knew this trick, and we all do this. That's what we do in davening. It's Tefillah Kavua idea. Says the Netziv, it's the pathway in. It's the pathway to get all the basics that you need. But the Tzarchei Sha'a, those things that are specific to you, those things which are your needs now in this moment, so take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. The greats in davening knew how to do that. The greats in davening knew how to do that. That's why you have a phenomenon. You ever said there are certain big people. Their silence when Esrei can go for a little bit of time. Okay, so not by me. The silence can go for a very long time because they realize that once they're in, they're in. That once they're in, they're in. And if you're able to take advantage of it, that's Avram by Sodom, and that's Chana davening quietly, Shmona Esrei, and then she's going. And that's Moshe, no ba'usi, but yes, but yes, Tzali, yes, a formal kind of davening. That's l'shmoa el harina ve'el hatfila. That if I first go with Rina, I first have my real tefila, then I can have my bakashas. Then my bakashas, b'charbi u'b'kashti. That unklis is so sensitive, the targumim are so sensitive to the way in which we describe this. And that's something which is powerful. And the Tziv Merome Sada claims that's the resolution between the different Gemaras. Why in Brachos it sounds like it's first Shoel, you have to first daven and then Shoel Trachav. In Avodah Zarah it sounds like you should first be Shoel Trachav and then daven. Why the shift? Because if you're davening on your own, first praise Hashem, then ask for things. If you're davening Parshman Asarai, you've already done it. You're already in a little bit. You can start with your tefillah. You can go straight into the Bakashas if you really are there. And in that sense, the particular Mahalach of Netziv, which is very, very powerful and plays up the role of tefillah for getting us in and the building of tefillah, Because a person who gets in, so then I can go and then I can daven a lot. And in that sense, I think the Netziv offers such a powerful statement. It explains a lot of psukim, it explains a lot of gemaras, it explains a lot of questions that come up throughout Tanakh. But it's one of these amazing things. And Netziv was uniquely good and uniquely gifted at having a particular mahalach
and taking it through lots of places. In his commentary on the She'iltos, his commentary on Shas, his commentary on Chumash, he can take it through lots of places. And it's a key to being able to daven and to maximize tefillah, to maximize tefillah. In some of the Sifrei Kabbalah, the imagery of all of this is very, very powerful. About being able to daven, how there are different gates and different rooms, and a lot of tefillah, you know how to use the right words, you're able to access different rooms and able to bring down certain things. And that's a big idea of what's taking place here. It's a big idea of what's taking place here, is that capacity to tap into. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to daven well, to daven the way that Becharbi uvekashti, to daven like Moshe Rabbeinu daven, to daven like Avraham Avinu daven, and to be able to have tefillah, which is not just a tefillah, which is an amazing experience, but one in which we are able to, in many ways, sort of get what we're asking for, to accomplish well in the context of that tefillah.